greetings this morning in Jesus' precious holy name. And want to welcome everyone to the service this morning. As was mentioned, it is a special time of self-examination, self-looking at our own lives, and seeing where we stand with the Lord and with each other. You can turn to Matthew chapter 26. We'll start reading in verse 3. And I'm going to try to speak a little slower or maybe take a little bit more time so the interpreter back there can kind of keep up. He said it's kind of tough to keep his thoughts together and interpret when we don't give a lot of time. So that's going to be kind of my intention this morning. I may forget, so help. If you see me rushing on, help me to just remind me. Came across this scripture in my personal devotions, and as I was reading the account in Matthew of the Jesus' trial, crucifixion, resurrection, and the title of the message is "What is in your alabaster box?" I think, I don't remember how many years ago I heard this title. I don't remember much about that message, but it was preached here by my brother-in-law, and I don't know if I ever heard that message again. So I just remember that this was his title. So as far as I know, that's the only thing same about the message is the title. I borrowed his title. What is in your alabaster box? Okay, Matthew 26, verse 3. Why don't we stand for the reading of the scripture? Okay, verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when the disciples saw it, they had an indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that the woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. You may be seated. John chapter 12, verse 3 says this. This is the same account given from John's perspective. And it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I like that rendering, that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In other words, when that alabaster box was broken, when it was broken up and it was the oil was poured on the head of Jesus and on the feet of Jesus, I think Luke would tell us that there was no question what was happening here. There was no question that there was a anointing going on because they could smell it. The whole house was filled with the odor. It was a beautiful thing that was happening. Now, if we go back to Luke, I'd like to read that account. Luke chapter 7. And it gives us another picture into this account. Verse 39 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verse 39 through 50. Need to start a little earlier than that. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon. So he turned to the woman and he said, Now look at this woman. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, he was still talking to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Then he turned to the woman and said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Now in Matthew it would tell us that Mary doesn't mention her name, but it would tell us that Mary, the woman, came in and anointed Jesus' head. And in Luke, it tells us that it was a woman. In John, it says it was Mary Magdalene, or Mary, the sister of Lazarus. What is in your alabaster box? What was in Mary's alabaster box? It was a very precious, precious ointment. There was this, I think one of these gospels, it says that the cost of this ointment was 300 pence. Now, if you go back to Matthew, it would tell us that, remember the story where the people worked for a penny a day? So a pence was a penny, so basically 300 working days. That was what the cost of this this ointment was. Very costly. And she broke it open and poured everything on Jesus. She loved Jesus for who he was and is, and what he had done for her. She was forgiven much, therefore she loved much. You know, love is not always practical. It's not always sensible or efficient in its expression. Love's expression should be at times just spontaneous. Spontaneous for the joy of pure love. Is that the way we act at times? Is this spontaneous love within our heart just spilling out for the beauty of the people around us, for the enjoyment of the people around us, especially for Jesus Christ? This spontaneous love will not always be appreciated or please those that are looking on. And we see that in the disciples' response as they looked at this perfume, as they looked at Mary, and as they looked at Jesus. They said, well, why is this waste going on? Why was this ointment just broken open and dumped on Jesus' head? Well, we could have sold that and given the money to the poor. This, I read a lot of accounts here, so I'm not exactly sure which one, didn't write it down, but I think it's in John that tells us that this complaint was started by Judas Iscariot. Verse 4 of John 12. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now verse 6, this said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. So in the disciples' minds, this was absolutely a waste. This was absolutely not practical. This was absolutely not sensible to dump this oil, this perfume on Jesus. Jesus came back and defended Mary and said, leave her alone, for she has done this for my burial. Is it possible that Mary, outside of Jesus, Mary was the only one that really understood what Jesus was trying to tell them, that in 2 days he will die, and after 3 days will rise again? I don't know. But it seems the disciples missed that point. They just could not get that. But Mary, it says that she did this for his burial. Not all people will appreciate a life lived in love and obedience to Jesus Christ. You know, not all people will understand that our love for the Lord will at times take us through tremendous sacrifices of personal life and possessions. Now, Matthew and Mark would tell us that while Mary, out of love and devotion, was anointing the head and the feet of Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees were plotting how to take Jesus by force, by subtlety and force. So they had envious, hateful thoughts, murderous thoughts in their minds, and their actions proved it. Mary was acting out of a sense of love and devotion to her Savior. The scribes and Pharisees, in turn, were trying to take Jesus by force to I can think of the German word, but I can't think of the English word. to boots him away. How do you say that? To clean, just, can somebody help me? I'm sorry? Yeah, basically just kill him and get rid of him. So this morning, my thoughts, yeah, I was wondering, what is our alabaster box full of? Is it full of beautiful odors and a blessing, or are we full of envious, hateful thoughts? Luke 6:45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 tells us this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now again, I like the German way of the way that Martin Luther wrote it. He said, for out of the what the heart is full of, that will the mouth and life speak. It comes out of the life. Whatever our heart is full of, that is what comes out. You know, now I could take this glass and I could hold it, and if somebody would come up here and would bump me, very likely this glass would spill. There's water that would come out. Now, never in a million years would there grape juice or wine come out of this water? Because it's full of water, right? There it went. So what the heart is full of, that will come out. If our heart is full of love and devotion for the Lord Jesus, that is what comes out. If it's full of hate and envy, murderous thoughts, as the scribes and Pharisees had, that's what will come out. That's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the life liveth. Now, I would suggest that all mankind have a box of some kind, whether it's an alabaster box of tremendous, good-smelling perfume. Some have precious ointment of love, humbleness of mind, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, kindness, and others have bitter, envious, hateful thoughts and actions that spill out when bumped. So again, I ask the question, what is in our alabaster box? Is it full of spontaneous actions of love and kindness and devotion? Or is it full of evil emotions and acts? Actions. When we get emotionally weary, when we actually get physically tired, it's very easy to be easily stirred up. When we get shaken up, bumped or jostled, when the contents of our alabaster box is spilled, what comes out? What are you full of? What am I full of? You know, will the aroma of our actions and words fill the world around us with beauty? Or will it be obnoxious? You know, when somebody takes us and turns us upside down and just shakes us, something's going to come out. This message was not necessarily easy for me because I see myself so failing in a lot of areas. I know that in the past, maybe people have bumped me and jostled me, that my box was spilled or shaken, and some of the things spilled out. And I know it wasn't always pleasant, and I'm sorry for that. So I'd like to look this morning at three, and there's probably more, but maybe four of them, of the examples that I saw here in this account, in the different versions of the account, of the natural man's box, what it includes, and how it spills out, how it reveals itself. First one was already mentioned in John chapter 12, verse 6. And Judas said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Number one is self-serving and deceptive. Verse 6 says that Judas had a problem with Mary. He had a problem with Mary's extravagance. But the reason he had a problem was not the reason he gave for his problem. He gave the reason as his concern for the poor. But that's not the reason that he really had a problem with it. He had a problem with it because he was a thief. He hid behind the good thing of caring for the poor to how can I say this? He hid behind his true self behind the facade of caring for the poor. But his real intent was he wanted this money in his bag so that he could steal it. It says he was a thief. And that is really what a natural man's perspective, is a natural man's box does include self-serving and being deceptive. Judas wasn't concerned at all about the poor. He just wanted those 300 pieces of silver in his bag so that he could steal. You know, when we have a hidden agenda, we love to hide behind some good appearances, so that others around us don't think bad about us or question our motives. So I'm going to keep asking this question. What comes out of my alabaster box? What comes out of yours? Am I self-serving and deceptive? Am I willing to hide behind the facade of something good so I can do what I really want to do? Now another one is being legalistic. Go back to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 3. Let's go to verse 5. And they, the scribes and Pharisees, said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, I was thinking of, there was another gospel, there was... I was looking for it this morning after I sat here and I couldn't find it. It says that they, when they gave Jesus to the, again, I can't remember, was it to Pilate to, or who it was, they said that, whoever it was said, well, you take him and judge him according to your law. You remember that saying? And then they said, well, we can't go to the judgment hall because it would defile them for Passover? You remember that? So were these people legalistic? Were they defiled or weren't they defiled? Were they pure or weren't they pure? They said we can't deliver Jesus on the feast day because we don't want an uproar of the people. Now, they may have feared the crowd. I don't know. But if you look at the other accounts, it almost seems like they were worried about their own life being defiled if they enter the judgment hall and pronounce death on this person. So a natural man's box a lot of times includes being legalistic. Jesus mentions this attitude, and this verse was mentioned this morning in Matthew 23, verse 24, says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." So again, what is coming out of my alabaster box? It would make us impure. Being self-defensive is another one. Having all kinds of reasons why we acted the way we did or said the things we did. You know, when we become defensive, we aren't really willing to take personal responsibility for our actions. Am I self-defensive when people come to me with a concern, with a problem with my life? Do I in turn become very defensive of why I did this? I know I have been done that, and it's not just a action that's way back there. It's pretty current, and I'm sorry again. I know that I, a lot of times, have a problem of being a little bit self-defensive. We become kind of testy when somebody says something. We become kind of upset or uptight, and we respond maybe in a way that is not Christian. Being self-defensive is a natural man's, what comes out of a natural man's box. Number four is becoming angry when our box is spilled. Anger seems to be a problem that is very prevalent. It's easy to become angry. It's easy to become upset when somebody bumps our life and things spill out and things, you know, we our first expression in a lot of times is lashing out in anger towards, especially towards the one that responsible for doing the bumping, the jostling, the hitting. We get fairly angry fairly quickly. And this bumping can happen in so many ways and situations. Children acting up and not behaving. Children damaging or destroying our things by carelessness or disobedience. You know, maybe we get angry because they don't follow our instructions or they forget. That is something that's pretty prevalent in our house, is our children forget. And it's amazing how plainly you can tell them, do this and this and this, and it just seems doesn't happen because they forgot. It becomes a habit. But you know, it's pretty easy for me to get upset when that happens, because I know I told them very clearly, do this and take this along. Do I respond in anger? Probably upset, yes. Should I? No. But it's easy to respond in anger when that happens. Another thing that is, pretty prevalent is when a job is not going well and it's taking way longer than we think necessary. You know, we start getting upset, uptight, and that in turn makes the others upset and uptight. And we just continue to, the one feeds on the other, and pretty soon everybody's upset, everybody's angry, everybody's willing to lash out in anger at everybody else. Because the first person started that downward trip. What is in our alabaster box? What is in yours? You know, equipment breaking down at a very stressful time. Maybe things happen at home, and you think your account, your bank account is bleeding profusely of money, and you get a phone call and said, this and this and this happened at home. And my, you know, the first thought is, well, why were you so careless? Anger. You know, accidents happening, especially when money is tight. These are all where anger can just blossom forth and become a blown up thing. Willingness to love and serve others. One of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong, loves to serve others. And serve others, people. Bring his body for burial. Is she was expressing her love in a spontaneous. So as we are living life, let's be willing to love and serve others. To understand that what we do for the child of not just a child or of God, but to fellow man, we are doing it for Jesus Christ. Now in Mark 14, it's a continuation of this story. Or a different perspective. Another mark for the child of God is our possessions are available for use, for Christ's use. If Christ lays his finger on our possession, we give it to him. I'd like to read in chapter 14, verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sending forth two of his disciples, now in Luke, I think it would tell us that this was Peter and John. He sending forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you excuse me, a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. Wheresoever he shall go in, say unto the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, came into the city, found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. You know, I don't know if the disciples knew who this man or not. I don't know if the man knew the disciples. It, to my knowledge, it never gives his name in the scriptures. But it says the good man of the house was willing to give his large upper room for the Passover, for Jesus to eat the Passover with his disciples. When Jesus asked him, he was right there. He was willing to give it to him. He was available. He was willing to let him use. You know, it doesn't sound like there was a lot of excuses. Well, I had plans to use this tonight. I had plans to use it tomorrow night. We don't see that. It was available. And to me, I was really, really blessed by that. As I thought of our own lives, and the life of this church, it's something that I have been really blessed, is the availability of our possessions for the master's use. And that is a mark of the child of God. That is an alabaster ointment that smells delicious to God. It doesn't sound like this man had was hovering around the background trying to make sure that they don't tear anything up, or they don't do this, or they don't do that, but or that they do this right, do that right. It doesn't sound like it. He just gave them the upper room and they prepared. Would Jesus feel free to ask me to use my guest chamber for his needs? Again, today we share with Jesus when we share with our fellow man. What is in our alabaster box this morning? You know, being tender-hearted and kind is another sweet-smelling savor to God. When we get bumped by critical thoughts or accusations, can we respond without the test in us? And that word means to be easily irritated, impatient, somewhat bad-tempered. Again, if we feel like it's kind of false, the accusations, or that it shouldn't be, it's pretty easy to get testy. It's pretty easy to get impatient. And unless we're very aware of what is happening, a lot of times we will respond in the same way that we perceive the other responding to us. You understand what I'm saying? Christian kindness goes a long way in diffusing a situation that could turn volatile very quickly. Kindness. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And in Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, unless God is ruling our spirit, it is very difficult for the accused to not think in kind towards towards the accuser. And the last one is love the Lord with all thy heart. How much have you been forgiven? How much have I been forgiven? Does it show in our life? Does it show in our devotion and spontaneous love to the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said Mary had been forgiven much, therefore she loved much. Simon was, I think he would have implied that Simon didn't really understand he would give a thought that those that don't appreciate and don't know what they have been forgiven from don't love much. It tells us that love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. When we realize how much we have been forgiven, then we realize how much we need to love. Luke 7, 47 to 50. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So this morning, again, I'd like to ask the question, what is in your alabaster box? What is in mine? When it is spilled, when it is slopped, when it is poured out, Does it give a beautiful aroma? A beautiful, is it beautiful for those around us? Or is it obnoxious, hateful things that come out? What is our life like? What is your life like? I think we're just going to kneel for prayer. We'll just kneel the regular way, and then we'll